Retrieving the self-heat from under the seat where it had rolled, Jack tucked it safely away into his leather jacket. Ammo they had. Food was short.
Release cable and let right down there.
No, leave it alone.
JB looked up from the cramped engine compartment toward the turret with its two huge blasters.
That way Gaza will come to us. And as he steps into sight, we can blow him off the cliff with his own blasters.
Sounds good.
But then the big man paused and scowled at a plastic seat bolted to the wall. There were some words scratched deep into the resilient material in big block letters. Stroking the surface with his fingertips, they came back flecked with tiny bits of plastic dust and curls. The writing was brand new. Anybody sitting in the chair would have wiped it clean with their clothing. Christy tried to control her pounding heart.
Mother Gaia, is that a message for Gaza or for us?
Turning, the woman glanced at the dead blonde lying on the floor and had a flashback to their escape from Rockpointville when she had been looking at the keep and felt someone looking right back at her from behind a thick stone wall. Christy again scrutinized the corpse.
This was written by her. The Baron's first wife was a Dumi. The seven will become six.
What hell mean? The seven will become six. Bah. Heat crazy shit.
There are seven of us.
Ryan felt an odd shiver run down his spine, as if he had just pronounced the death sentence of someone present.
It's just some mystic nonsense. Besides, it doesn't say die. Maybe one of us leaves. If Doc were to find some way to go back home, that would be good news.
Indeed it would, madam. But enemies rarely leave messages of gladful tidings for their rivals to discover.
You think it's psychological warfare? That's not really Gaza's style. He's more of a hammer-breaking-your-bones kind of guy.
That was true, and Doc started to say more when the sound of a broiling steak came to him riding on the desert wind. Feeling a touch of panic, the old man grew confused for a moment, thinking he was slipping into delirium again, when the sound returned, stronger and louder. No, by Godfrey, not meat on a grill, but hard rain on dry ground.
The acid rain is here!
Doc backed hurriedly into the war wag, nearly tripping on the jam. Stretching across the desert, a faintly yellow wall was sweeping toward the APC like a curtain. Rushing to the rear doors, Ryan and JB pulled them shut and dogged the locks tight, while the rest of the companions closed every blaster port, louvered op port, and hatch. The companions knew from reading some old documents found in the redoubts that the LAV-25 was an NBC-rated vehicle designed to withstand nuclear, bacteriological, and chemical attacks. But that was way back when it was new and fully operational, the seals firm and solid. Nobody had ever expected the bastard machine to still be in service 100 years later. Down came the rain in torrents. In only moments, the sharp reek of sulfur was heavy inside the wag, and the companions quickly tied handkerchiefs across their faces. Dean watched a rivulet of yellow water trickle across the corrugated metal floor from under a console.
We got a leak!
Unsure of the source, the companions stepped on top of the ammo boxes to stay above the acid. But the stream flowed freely into the open engine compartment, and soon wisps of smoke rose from the organic components of the machinery being dissolved under the chemical onslaught. Slowly, the water level rose inside the compartment, and upon reaching the top, started to spread along the floor. As it touched the dead woman, the acid started to eat away at her flesh, and the stink of sulfur became mixed with a more foul reek of copper. Shifting to the wall seats, the companions watched for any other leaks in the hull when a tremendous explosion shook the APC from prow to stern. Only a second later, a whooshing roar passed by overhead, closely followed by another detonation.
Oh, dark night. That was a missile. The traitor must be here, and he fucking thinks we're Gaza.
Of course he thinks that. We're in his APC. Dad, what can we do?
Quickly, Ryan looked around for the handcom he had seen earlier and spotted it floating in the acid rain, the plastic already reduced to a thinning goo, leaving only a tangle of wires and transistors.
No choice. Everybody outside. If they hit us inside this thing, we're chilled. Only chance we have is out in the open.
In rain? Better stay here.
With missiles on the way, if we stay, we die. Now move!
Pulling out the ponchos from their backpacks, the companions draped the plastic sheeting over their bodies and heads, pulling them tight with nylon cords. Some canvas gloves were found in a toolbox, not quite enough for everybody, but they all got at least one for their blaster hand, the other stuffed deep inside their clothing for safekeeping.
Better hope these shower curtains are tough enough.
Mildred cinched another layer tight around her head in a crude bonnet.
But I better warn you that if anybody trips or falls face first in the water...
We do a mercy killing and shoot them in the back of the head.
Doc nodded from inside his white plastic cocoon.
Yes, we do understand, madam. And may God help us all.
Stepping down onto the flooded floor, Ryan braced himself for a rush of pain. But the tough U.S. Army combat boots resisted the pool of acid for the moment. How long they would was another matter entirely. However, neither Christy nor Doc wore the military garb, and precious seconds were spent while they lashed the last of the plastic curtains around their leather boots as additional protection. If the group hadn't taken spare curtains to make tents, they would be in a nucleus of trouble right now, even more so than they already were. He could carry Christy, but who could have hauled the tall Doc Tanner around to keep him off the lethal ground?
Everybody ready?
Ryan went to the rear door and grabbed the latch. Just outside, he could hear the rain coming down in sheets now, wave after wave of death from the sky, every bit as deadly as the ancient nukes.
Okay, keep your head down and walk straight ahead. Let's move.
As Ryan pushed open the door, the rain came howling in, smacking against the plastic wrappings in fat yellow drops. Suddenly, Ryan understood why the core had been wrapped in thick bandages from head to foot. Clever bastards. Using an M16 to hold the door wide open, Ryan stepped onto the soggy ground, his boots slipping about in the salty mud. Tucking away his blaster, he took Christy by the hand, and then she did the same to Doc, and so on. Now supporting one another, the companions moved as a single unit across the killing field as another missile streaked by. So close overhead, their plastic covering shook from the fiery wash. Dragging their boots to keep from splashing in the downpour, the companions headed directly for the lee of the closest dune, the slope offering some minor degree of protection from the rain, and the elevated ground giving blessed relief from the deadly puddles. However, every breath was painful from the moisture in the air stinging their flesh and eyes. As they trundled through the rumbling hailstorm, they saw the aced riders of the smashed motorcycles dissolving. The dark matter runoff flowing over the edge of the cliff like ghastly sewage. Nearing the dune, Ryan bent over to grab something from a portion of a bike not yet submerged when another streak of light split the rain, and this time there sounded a metallic detonation, the concussion slamming them hard and threatening to tear away their plastic sheets.